All right. This session of the Independent Oversight Committee statewide access meeting has now been called to order. The date is July 13th, 2021, and the time is 12:04. And I'd like to go around the group here to get a roll call. And I'm going to go, I'll just go ahead and call you out from left to right. So I see Frederica. Do you want to?
Sorry, trying to off mute. Frederica Graham with Access.
Okay. Dr. Potts?
Here. I am the chairperson of the Central Arizona IOC.
Okay. And CJ?
Hi, everybody. CJ Loisel, quality manager for Access.
Fantastic. Thank you. Marie Raymond.
Hi, Marie Raymond, Vice Chair, Central Arizona IOC.
Thank you, Marie. And Lori?
Lori Goldstein, the Chair of Arizona State Hospital IOC.
Thank you. And Barbara?
Hello, hello, Barbara Carlin, Vice Chair, Southern IOC. Southern Arizona.
Thank you, Barb. And it looks like we have two members of the public on the call. Lori?
Hi, this is
Gansermuller.
Yep. Hi, this is Lori Gansermuller, Director of Special Programs with United Healthcare.
Thank you, Lori. And it looks like we have Karen Kramer on the call.
Yep, Karen Kramer, Member Advocacy Administrator, United Healthcare.
Thank you, Karen. All right. Thank you, everybody. And call to the public. I think there is nobody else on the call other than Lori and Karen. Let's just go right into the agenda. So updates from the chairs. Dr. Potts, do you want to start?
Yeah, let me do so. Couple things. Number one, we started Joy and I went on a couple site visits, so we're starting to do that again, which we feel good about. Number two, the Central AZIOC has changed its meeting time to noon. Since we're doing it remotely, it seems to be better fit for some of those who have other obligations. And then when I'm done, I'll ask Marie to make some comments. Number three, we've been in touch with the Phoenix Fire Department because they've expressed some issues they have regarding discharges from residential facilities that seem to be inappropriate. And we're trying to look at that, and what we found just initially, and has been, we haven't dealt with this, is that there are a lot of programs that are, I think, licensed as behavioral health, but don't take SMIs, and they mainly do substance abuse or others, but they seem to be licensed and found on the statewide site. So this is an interesting issue because there seems to be beds at these places, and we ran into some very well-run facilities that for some reason can't get SMI patients, and so that's something we're going to be working on looking at. They can't get contracts, and it may be an untapped resource or some other issue, but one of them, for example, had their own psychologists on staff, had their own counselors who would go routinely to the homes to do groups. Much better than some of the other facilities. And so those are some of the issues we've been looking at. Marie, do you have some thoughts, sort of update, just general?
Yeah, I don't really have anything additional. I do just want to note that it's been really helpful with the presentations that we've had. We had a great one on housing and other helpful presentations on looking at reports online. So just want to say thank you for that support from everyone helping us do the work that we're set to do.
Excellent, and I want to note that as well, that has been very helpful for membership, and also a couple of us attended the one from Southern Arizona, the recent one too, just as a refresher on the database. Furthermore, Access through CJ is looking at compiling a list of the non-licensed facilities, SMI boarding homes essentially that SMI residents reside at, and I'm working with someone on a public information request for the city of Phoenix for those that are licensed as boarding homes, which is a separate license, but that a lot of our SMI folks are housed at boarding homes, which is not a state licensed program. So maybe CJ can talk about that later, but I think that'll help because we can then get a sense of where some of these places are really not fit for kenneling your dog. We're going to try and look at that issue as well, and with the great help of Access. Any questions at all from my peers? Okay, then, Larry, pass it back to you.
Thank you, Dr. Potts. Lori, can you give an update on your committee, please?
Okay. Our committee still is, I think we are doing our best doing virtual visits, trying to forge a relationship with ASH administration. It's kind of clear that Dr. Bowen doesn't want to participate, that he thinks he's doing the federally mandated expectation, so I don't think he's coming back to the table. I see more willingness from others in his organization, but I don't expect it to go anywhere. I don't know if you are different or have a different feeling. We're pushing back on things that we feel that we have a right to know or see, such as seclusion space, give me a dimension or drawing, and they constantly refuse that type of information. We're not like asking to see patients, but they are, in other words, collaborative, which I don't think it speaks well for them in the public. It should be a really spicy meeting this next this coming Thursday. We're trying our best.
May I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
I know that you were working with ADOA closely and Mr. Allen about the formal request to have representation. Where's that proceeding? As my peers in Southern AZ know, that they don't have someone from sitting on the committee or even attending.
Larry escalated to Director Tobin, and I don't know what his final decision is.
Yeah, we're still trying to get that set up, Dr. Potts and Lori. The schedules just hasn't meshed yet for them to sit down and have a conversation about it. We hope to have that done very soon. I know it's been a while, but so we're working on that as we speak. Okay. Anything else, Lori?
No, I'm trying to think. No, I'm going to start my annual report, but we'll get it done. But other than that, I'm just trying to make sure.
Yeah. I received your agenda today.
Okay.
Yeah, I received your agenda today, and it's posted, so you're all set for Thursday.
Okay. And I have my psych nurse back, so I'm so happy.
Oh, great. Fantastic. Barb, can you give an update on the Southern IOC?
Sure can. Well, up until last night, figuratively, we've been treading water and trying to just ride this whole thing out. And so we've been focusing on training and presentations and keeping our group cohesive. Our meetings have been well attended by committee members and also wonderful folks from the community. So we've had some good conversations, collaboratively. And we had, for instance, presentations. We had David Bridge from the Director of Housing at our last meeting, and as Dr. Potts referred to, and that was excellent because we had visited the concept of it at one of Dr. Potts' meeting for the first time, and it was so much information that Frederica set it up so we could have David Bridge down here. And for me, again, repetition is everything. Learned a lot more, felt a lot more comfortable, and I'm really, really appreciative now more of that program that they're putting together that goes into effect, I guess, in October. It made a lot more sense hearing it again. And so if any of the other IOCs, again, consider having David in for a refresher, I think it's a wonderful thing, and I might even attend again. And then furthermore, thank you, CJ, and thank you, Frederica. We had a third training on the QM server, because it takes, again, lots of repetition, and I was hoping I could get the last committee member trained, and I think we achieved that. And again, I learned a ton more just watching the whole production. And we're still not up to snuff getting the reports churned. We have one member that is just phenomenal. She's been really spending a lot of time at them, but everybody else, I get it, there's a lot on everybody's plate. And again, the difficulty of navigating sometimes that QM server. But thanks to CJ and thanks to Frederica, we're ever a bit closer to getting that going. I have not requested any paperwork for site visits yet. I'm of that certain age, and I'm still a little hesitant with the new Delta, whatever that is, out there. But other committee members may be interested in doing some site visits. I'm really, let me ask you, Dr. Potts, so if you've been out doing them, how are the different clients, are they wearing masks, or what's going on out there? Are they welcoming you? Any issues due to COVID with going to sites?
No, we are welcome. Number one, we of course approach wearing masks. Number two, identify ourselves as being fully vaccinated and ask if let the staff, some staff have had masks on when we go to the sites. But most of the people with whom we've interacted have been fully vaccinated. And let's see. We were very pleasantly pleased at the reception and what we learned. And it's been a desert for us not to have been going to the sites. So that's, we've done what you did, is get the education. But no, it's worked very well in these places we've not been before. Just approach them just as you would want to be approached. So it worked very well.
Thank you, Dr. Potts, for that input. So I'll be contacting Melissa Brown here in a bit to have her help compile. Did you get your list that you needed through Melissa Brown, or how did you manage to get your list of unlicensed?
We have not yet got the unlicensed facilities. And CJ, I'll talk about that, I'm sure. But we are... We just use the ones where the SMI are off our special assistance list of homes. And also, I got another list off the State Department of Health Services behavioral health, the licensure. It's an interactive web page. You can click on them, and there it's a very, very good website that you can see what homes are, and they're classified by behavioral health, assisted living, et cetera. So we went to a number of behavioral health facilities, one where the SMI patients had been moved out within the last month, so there were none of them there anymore, but that's but they were on the special assistance list, but I didn't expect the list to be up to date. I didn't mind it being not being up to date because it was only within the last month they moved. And another one was the same organization that ran it, but didn't have anyone listed. We decided to stop there anyway, but it was a licensed behavioral health residential facility as well, but did not have SMI patients. And they explained things to us. They accepted us, and we were just sort of inquiring. So, you know, our key to entry is SMI designation. So, you know, but they were still very, very welcoming, even though the residents had moved on. But we have not done a formal unlicensed facility. I know of a number I could go to, but the list that we're referring to, from Mercy or whomever is 5 or 6 years old. So we did not use that. We just went to licensed places.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. This is a question I'm going to ask Frederica and CJ for later. Please, I'm going to throw it out now. I know it's not discussion time, but I don't want to forget. I'm wondering if on this issue, we're talking about unlicensed homes. I guess it wouldn't be quite the same, would it? I was wondering if, no, I guess not. I was thinking of David Bridge, you know, the director of housing, if he have any leads for us, but that was going to be the question for later. I'm just throwing it out there, so don't let me forget to bring that up when it's time, Larry. Okay, when it's time for discussion. But beyond that, oh, I'm sorry. What?
Go ahead.
What? Human? Let me see. So that's just about it. We haven't increased our membership, although, forgive me, I think we've actually. Have we lost any? No. There's been a lot of personal issues going on in people's lives. But the point is things are, we're just on the edge of starting up again. And hopefully, I don't know, I know probably as well as Frederica, CJ, and Larry, how soon things are going to kind of open up again. And when they do, we'll get out there. But thank you very much, Dr. Potts. I think we're I might push a little bit harder to get myself and others out there to do some site visits. But beyond that, any questions? Sorry it took so long.
Not a problem.
Thank you, Larry. That's all I've got.
Okay. Thank you, Barb. All right. Let's go to the next item on the agenda is Frederica, an access update.
Lori had a question, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lori, I didn't see you.
Okay, just don't let me forget, but there are two items. One, that we did have a discussion, kind of a informal discussion with Charles Sullivan at ABC, you know, pending the transfer of housing to all housing to Charles, and I'm a little concerned because when I talked about the type of housing for people with serious mental illness that need wraparound services and staffing, like the chronically mentally ill with the group homes such as the Lighthouse, he referenced residential. I said, no, we're not talking residential, we're talking community living, but with staff. And that's been something that's been worked out and approved by Access and by Mercy, and he was unaware. So I asked him, he's going to follow up on that, but that's a little concerning. The second thing that I'd like to bring up with, since CJ's here and Frederica, is that in the past years, all the witchy actual reports of all the data has been up on the site, and now it's really hard to find. I think Life even sent me one, and we could find 2018, but I used to take all that data, and it would be interesting I'm sure for you guys too, Dr. Potts and others, because you can get the witchy ratings on housing, on ACT teams, on all types of good criteria. And you can look at which providers get what scores and particularly focus on the nature of services, which really is the guts, because it's easier to get kind of the other administrative points. But I really think Access needs to put those back up front, all the reports from 2014-15 on, and it should be listed, and it's really difficult to find. So that's just a request.
Thank you, Lori.
Ready,
Frederica?
Okay.
Yeah.
I just have a few updates, and I have a presentation, so I'm going to present my screen here. You guys see it?
Yes, it's coming up. Yeah. Okay. You're good.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. So just a few updates in regards to the competitive contract expansion for the current REBA. So as you guys can see on the timeline here, some of these dates have, you know, been affected obviously because of COVID. So the timeline has been adjusted a little in regards to the COVID situation that we are all still actively in. And if you guys want to just look on the timeline in the section of housing, since we all know that we've recently had the presentation on housing, they are one of the ones that are still on schedule to begin October 2021. And so we know that they didn't have a delay, but the delay comes in on the yellow, which is the REBA services. And basically the information that we had was supposed to happen, I would say, you know, a little bit before the 2021 of September. So that's been pushed out, and it's been extended by a year. So it's going to start September 2021, and the release of the competitive contract expansion for the services. The fall 2021 will be the award transition. And then 1 year later, in September 2022, the REBA contracts, they'll all, you know, go ahead and expire for the October 2022 date. So those dates have been extended. And as you see on the maroon section, the ACC contracts that were set to expire September 2025 are going to now expire September 2027. So that's just a little bit of an update on that. And here on our next slide, the REBA competitive contract expansion. What it will do is allow for one ACC plan to provide expanded REBA services in all the GSAs, so the GSA service area. So the ACC plan with the extended services will be called ACC REBA, and the ACC plan with the Regional Behavioral Health Agreement, whereas before it was called, where we all know it as authority. So that word will be changing to agreement from authority.
Help me with this. ACC, Arizona Complete Care. What's ACC again?
Access Complete Care.
Okay, so the Complete Care, that's what some of the providers or whatever were doing with having medical. It's reintegrating what used to be the carve-out. Is that correct?
Say it again, Dr. Potts. I'm sorry.
It's reintegrating what used to be the carve-out.
Yeah, so the current ACC plan, as you, and it's going to, you'll see it a little bit further down on the PowerPoint here, but the services were combined to where before the members were able to kind of, you know, pick their services, whether they needed to have, you know, medical plus their SMI services, they could decide if they wanted to have the physical services along with that. They're going to be able to opt out of that. And, you know, kind of like they were before, the members will be transferred to different plans regarding the GSAs. And so, you know, that will, again, the regional behavioral health agreement is going to be what's taking place, which, again, historically we know it as the Behavioral Health Authority. So there's going to be some changes coming about. Those will all begin October 2021. Okay, let's see. So here is the GSA map, service map. And as you can see, the zip codes noted here on the bottom. So the GSA, meaning what's going to happen is the Gila and the Pinal counties will join in with the Maricopa County. So that will, they will all become central GSA. So that's going to be the big change with that one there.
What's the intention? I mean, what's the goal? Because geographically and probably the society and the needs in some of those rural areas are quite different than from Maricopa. So what's the reasoning?
Well, I can take that one, Fred. So when we did the competitive contracts for ACC, so the General Mental Health, Physical Health Integration Programs, the GSAs were realigned to match populations living in the area. So GSAs had not been looked at based on populated areas for several years. So in 2018, with the ACC contracts to balance out the populations, now Gila and Pinal's populations have changed quite a bit. Northern's has actually grown quite a bit, and so has Southern's. So to even out the GSAs, the service areas by population and amount of people basically that live there, the GSA was rerouted. Now, at the time, the current REBA contracts could not align with that new GSA structure because the previous contracts were still in effect, and you can't change a GSA during a contract period. So with the competitive contract expansion, taking the REBA services and allowing the current ACC plans to bid on taking over those REBA services, we're able to realign those GSAs so they're more evenly balanced. Did that answer your question, Lori?
Well, I see why from a management standpoint, it's probably easier. I'm just wondering if there will be any delusion of, because they probably know their populations better when it was in, you know, specific to that region.
Yeah, I think historically there was a lot more rural land in Gila and Pinal than there is now. Even if you take a road trip through those areas, one of the biggest problems that we had was separation of GSA between Pinal and Maricopa, for instance, is our GSA line actually goes right through the middle of an apartment complex, a very, very, very large one that wasn't there. So it really impacted our crisis service system, having crisis from the south and crisis from the north, trying to identify who's responsible for a person in this same address, just separated by apartment number. That was a big piece, but there are a lot of little, that's just one example, but there are a lot of little reasons in addition to just population size. But, you know, based on, you know, all of the research, and I'm not an actuary or any of those folks, but what I've been told is this realignment or reorganization of the GSAs, it will help to give more consistency in areas that are actually kind of touching now, and then based on population, even out those contracts for the REBA plans to make sure that they're all serving as best they can within their network and their GSA.
So another kind of related to that. So if someone's court ordered in Maricopa, I know in the past, it's a big deal if they cross the line and they go into Pima or Pinal or anything else. So will that also help facilitate care for those on COT if it's not standard under one?
My advocacy side really wants to believe that would be true. However, court orders are a whole different ball game than healthcare, even though we cross that line quite a lot with court ordered treatment. Court orders will always be specific to the county. So even, in northern Arizona, where we have, you can see how many counties our northern partners and how many counties our southern partners in the REBAs have to deal with. It's county by county. And then when you bring in the tribal court orders as well, it gets even more complicated. So the simple answer to your question, Lori, is no. The geographic service areas will only impact the healthcare provision and who's responsible for that, but it doesn't breach into the court order treatment. So the good news is, though, the provider network for the central REBA will have, service areas in Pinal and Gila, and a person can still be served if they want, through their same REBA if they want to move between those counties.
Let me ask in that respect. Right now, the central IOC, the SMIs for which we have a responsibility, are Maricopa with some zip codes in Pinal, is my understanding. And these two maps confuse me. One shows that the REBA is the central IOC will be just Maricopa on the REBA component, and on the Access Complete Care it'll be three counties.
So let me pause you there, Dr. Potts, because I think we're going to have several questions in your question. So what you're looking at right now is the difference between the geographic service areas that match the Arizona Complete or the Access Complete Care contracts and the variation for the current REBA contract. So these are current. The REBA serves the map on the right, and the ACC plans serve based on the map on your left. And in 2022, when the REBA competitive contract expansion award goes into effect, so October 1st, 2022, these maps will align and they will be the map on the left. So where we see right now what ACC is serving, ACC REBAs will serve this map. So the central region for GSA in Arizona will change to include Maricopa, Gila, and Pinal for REBA services.
Thank you. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. What that means for you, Dr. Potts, is you will see more of those SMI-specific reports and court order treatment reports for Gila and Pinal than you're seeing now. Because right now, it's just a small amount of people who kind of live right on that border. And you'll get a few more of those. And Northern and Southern will get a few less of those.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, CJ. All right, so our next slide is just the information on the SMI opt-out policy. And based off of feedback that we received at Access from community and stakeholders, the decision was made to continue this opt-out policy. So basically, individuals with an SMI can continue to opt out of receiving physical health services from the ACC REBA, and members will be transferred to a different ACC plan in the same GSA in order to provide physical health services. And then members must meet one or more of the conditions outlined in the Access 1115 waiver and the Access ACOM 442 policy. And after the presentation, I'll drop those links in the chat for you all to look at if you guys want to get more information on that. And the Access major decisions, through the CCE, there will be one ACC plan per region to provide the integrated services for SMI non-titled 19 and non-21, and then state and grant funded services, as well as crisis services. So Access will retain and administer a portion of the grant funds to that currently goes to the REBUS for prevention services. And then there's additional major decision information, and I can send you also that link in the chat when we're done here with this presentation. Oh, that's the last slide. Are there any additional questions from anyone?
On that last one, you were saying that non-titled SMI, or is it non-titled and titled integrated for SMI?
Both,
the first one says integrated.
It's both.
So
integrated for all SMI titled, and then non-titled funding is separate. So as you are aware, our state-only funds are filtered through the REBA plans right now. So members that might benefit from grant or non-titled state-only funding, whether they're SMI or not, have to access that funding through a REBA plan. So you might be enrolled in United Healthcare ACC plan, but you're applying for housing services through either grant or non-title funding, right? So you have to get an open enrollment with the REBA. I know that's very confusing for everyone. This basic slide is just letting you know that now an ACC REBA plan will have that same structure. The only caveat here that we're doing really is there was a very small amount of prevention dollars that was going to the REBUS, and that money is going to be retained by Access and actually disseminated directly from Access to a prevention provider. The majority of the prevention funding that we get for the state goes to the governor's office for their youth and family prevention service program. So it's a very small amount, and it makes more sense to administer that directly, so the dollars go straight to the community rather than filter them through a plan. So that is very much more articulately described on the competitive contract expansion major decisions documentation, and Frederica is going to send you guys those links so you can read about it. But we just want to bring this to your guys' attention because the verbiage is going to change a little bit. Like Frederica said, instead of being referred to as the regional behavioral health authorities, they're going to, change that A to administers, or what is it, Fred? You want to go back a few slides?
Yeah.
Agreement.
Agreement, yeah. And then the GSAs are changing a little bit, like we spent a lot of time working on, but we wanted to let you guys know, because you do that oversight, and make sure that you fully are aware that this is happening. It's a year out. That's time to ask questions and get used to it. And that right now we're about to go into the actual competitive contract expansion process, where Access will be receiving bids from the ACC plans. So there's always a chance when you have the competitive contracting going on that the REBA serving your current GSA could change based on the award. But we won't know that until the timeline. I think we have a 2022 timeline on that.
I think one thing that's a little concerning to me, maybe I'm reading more into it, on the name change of authority to administrator, I think that the way, if you, not according to me, but to lawyers, that Mercy is kind of responsible. Bottom line, they're responsible to make sure people get the services they need. If they have bad providers, the buck stops at the top. It's the same. So is this, to me, it's a little concerning that they would change their name from authority, which they are the authority. They are responsible. Like if you're the CEO of a company and you outsource, or you're the head of a hospital and you have independent contractors, if they do bad stuff, it's still your responsibility to manage that. So is this name change any way trying to lessen their actual responsibility?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. It will not change anything on the contract requirements or the responsibility of the REBUS at all. Honestly, the name change is more person-centered. You know, nobody wants to be served by the authority. But I know right now there are some work groups going through. I know this has been looked at by the legislator and all of the lawyers. It will not change the responsibility of the REBA to provide services for our SMI folks. It will not stop or change the buck stops here mentality for the REBAs on ensuring that we're upholding those rights and service provision for our SMI members. It's literally a language change. R-921 is completely applicable to these contractors all the way through and through. And the verbiage there will be updated when the R-921 revisions come out, not to change the scope at all of the REBA, but to make sure that language is a little bit more updated and person-centered.
A quick question. And just excuse my ignorance. Number one, is the goal down the road to have everyone, all the SMIs, also be an ACC? Would that be the desired goal down the road?
In Arizona, I think we're always going to have specialized REBA plans, Dr. Potts. We really need to. I don't know how familiar all of you are with other states' Medicaid system and their SMI services. We have very, very clear SMI rights and responsibilities to serve our seriously mentally ill. And I don't think that's ever going to go away. The goal here is to align our contracts and to ensure that folks have the most choice and the best health care possible. So moving instead of having ACC plans serving just general mental health and REBA serving just SMI, the contracts are always going to have their own boundaries, right, per each contract. However, we want the folks to have choice and voice and the best plan possible within the scope of those contracted services. So the goal here really is integration, and best service for everybody. But I, again, do not think that in Arizona we will ever be able to do away with a specialized contract to serve our SMI members.
And the second question, I haven't reviewed this in a while, but my belief is that the IOC's oversight is for those who have designated SMI, does not include the GMH. Is that accurate?
Yeah, you guys do have some because of the children's reports.
Right.
But yes, the R-921 is the code that kind of expands on your statute for the Arizona Revised Statute, the 41-3801 through 4, I think it is. It's specific for SMI with an emphasis on the special assistance population. However, you guys have been reviewing children's reports and some general mental health reports for a while, just based on what's been released to you. So some of that is getting cleaned up with those AMPM 960 changes, but there's not really a specific children's IOC. So I know that a lot of your committees have wanted to continue to provide that oversight to the children's okay. population or children's services as well, just to ensure that there is some oversight there.
Okay. Any more questions? All right. Sorry, Larry, I took a little bit of time there.
Not a problem. Thank you, Fred. I guess the next item on the agenda would be an update for myself. I do have one quick update. The guidelines are en route to Director Tobin's desk for signature. I should have those done here by the end of the week. And then once I have a signed off copy, I will get that back out to the chairs for your records. And I will also post those on the website as well. On your page where your agendas and minutes are posted. So that way everything will be in one spot for you. The other update, would be the state fiscal year ended, a couple weeks ago on June 30th. So we will, year end reports, will be due here at the end of August. So I know some of your committees are already working on those now. So if you can keep on your subcommittees and the person in charge of your reports to make sure that information is being put down on paper and sent over to me and to Federica for roll up, and then we can get that taken care of and filed and with the governor's office for you. Those are really my two updates, pretty quick. Any questions from the group, comments?
You know, Larry, I do have a question for you real quick on back on site visits. Since we're going to think about revamping, getting going on those, our group needs ID, or at least I do. My ID is no longer valid. Before I can enter, you know, I don't have any ID. Any chance of getting those name tags or with using our pictures that they currently have on file, is that possible?
Yes, Barb, I'm glad you mentioned that. And that was another update I totally forgot to give the group, is that new badges are on the way. So we're using your old picture from your old badge, and then they'll be mailed directly to your house. So any new committee members that were never issued a badge, I will need a photo ID from them. And I think I know who those committee members are that have joined the committee here in the past year. So I'll work with you and Ken on getting those picks in and getting a badge issued for them.
Thank you. Yeah, yes. It would be Susan and I think Tyson. I think Tyson sent you a real handsome one, didn't he?
I think he did. I would have to go back and look. But yes.
We'll just get Susan. Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Well, Larry, you're welcome. If you're using old photos, I'd like to send you one from about 20 years ago.
Wait a minute, me first. Come on.
Me too, Larry. I've got a great one from high school. It's awesome.
I know, right? Dr. Potts, I've got a quick question for you, though. Where are you at, sir? That's a beautiful background you got there.
Yeah, it's a fake one like CJ's.
No,
it's not. I'm actually up in a cabin I've been coming to for 50 years up in the Canadian Rockies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I wanted to say, CJ, you can still work at places like this, so go to the Mediterranean.
Oh, you can. You can, but I cannot afford to work from the Mediterranean.
And I'm not getting paid either.
Okay. Well, that's a great spot you got there, Dr. Potts, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right. I guess the next item on the agenda would be CJ, discussion of IOC interest and access trending reports and/or dashboards. Take it away.
Yes. Thank you, Larry. Actually, I think we will probably move the majority of what I wanted to go over to our next meeting in the absence of Northern. This is what I wanted to kind of talk about. I'll just give an overview to this group. Is your interest from all of the committees in access, maybe in the future, producing tracking and trending or various dashboards using our data from the QM portal. So rather than just, you know, your guys' reviews, but also coming up with what would you guys like to see in chart form. Some ideas would be like, got some notes here, maybe the total number of incident reports for your region and the top incident types kind of graphed out for easy review. Maybe the total number of those incidents that became QOCs and how many of those quality of concerns that were opened were substantiated, things like that. So we wanted to talk to all three chairs about interest and then bring that back to access and see if it's something that we can put together so that we could get a demo for you. So we'll have to probably just let you guys kind of noodle on what you think your committees would benefit from. And we can bring that up to Dot via email, and maybe we can have a more robust discussion. And maybe even I could bring some sample graphs for you at our next meeting. I see, Lori, you've got your hand up there.
I would love, you know, the reports I get are so non-user friendly. They're just PDFs. So if I want to do any trends on units or patient numbers or anything or number of seclusion, I have to manually type it in a spreadsheet and do it. And by the time I get the data, sometimes it's days before, sometimes it's a week, but it would be so much better to be able to get more dashboard type information, more trend information, get the data in a spreadsheet format instead of just PDFs.
So, unfortunately, Lori, for your group, I don't have any control over that. But I'm happy to work with Larry maybe on putting a suggestion together for Ash and kind of voice your request there and see if they're interested in providing something like that to you. I'm sure they would want to know, you know, if that would be addition to what they give you now or in place of. And so those are going to be some questions right now, since they don't have you accessing their actual QM database like Access allows our IOCs to reach right in there and use that platform. It's going to be, a different kind of situation that I don't have any control over. So but I agree. If I was volunteering to provide oversight, charts and sortable spreadsheets would be, you know, helpful for me to prioritize my time. So I that's why we want to bring this to the Access IOC chairs and see if it would be helpful for them. Again, no promises. I'm trying to make as much user friendly to help you guys complete your mission as possible as we're able to adapt and change. And again, Lori, happy to help Larry put together a proposal for Ash for you.
Why can't we get into the same level of portal that everyone else in the other IOCs are? We sign confidentiality agreements. Why all the cloak and dagger over at Ash?
I don't know. I can't speak for Ash. Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know what their system looks like that they use, Lori. So I don't even know if they would have the technology or the ability to build an IOC section of the portal. I know that's something we did at Access so that it would be easier for you guys, but we already had kind of the platform and we were able to do it. And I don't know that Ash has the infrastructure. You'd have to field those questions over to DHS.
That's why we're glad to be away from DHS, frankly.
And Lori, I agree.
Yeah. Is there ever a thought that maybe the Ash IOC should go under Access as well, since Access really bottom line stops there, right? It is the provider of Medicaid type services. I know ASH has some state dollars so as well, but so does the general population. Those non-Title 19 dollars are all state dollars, so.
Yeah, it's as far as I know, the way that was split up when DBHS merged into Access and Ash did not come with us, that was made well above my pay grade. And it is based on funding source and oversight responsibility from the agency level. But I don't know that would ever change. We have limited interaction with Ash until a member is discharge ready. And then, our REBAs work with Ash on discharge planning. So we get involved at that point. But beyond that, I can't really answer a lot of DHS questions or even why that was structured that way, except that it is a separate healthcare system.
May I ask a couple points? Number one is, Frederica, would you just send us the PowerPoint link or the PowerPoint to me or at all the committee if you wish, but I'll forward it. Number two, CJ, I know years ago, not that long ago, those reports were available through the Medicaid portal, U.S. government one. You said they're now available on Access pretty routinely, the ones we used to see. I have not looked recently. Can you send a link to where they might be found easily so we can go through those? Because I really appreciate, I think the offer for us to review what would be helpful to us. We'll put it on the agenda for the next meeting, and I'll send it out to everyone about what is available now and what might be helpful. Like you've discussed the COTs, we've discussed that in the past. So,
yeah. What I'm talking about as far as dashboards is information coming directly out of the reports that you review and us tracking and trending those and kind of charting them for you. I know Northern Dot had a couple of folks on her team working on kind of trying to self-create that. And so that's what kind of sparked the idea is, well, instead of you guys having to spend hours and hours and hours updating Excel spreadsheets to kind of track and trend and get a visual of what's going on in your region, if our computer and our portal can do that, If we can program it, then we would offer to do that. Of course, you know, you guys are independent of us, so we're not going to go creating the wheel. So right now, Dr. Potts, what I'm proposing does not exist. It would be an add-on function that we would build through the portal and use portal data to create dashboards for your quick glance review. So you guys can say, oh my goodness, we've had a spike in unexpected deaths in central US or central GSA. Let's take a peek at those ones first. Or, oh my goodness, we've had a spike in, missing persons. What's going on here? You know, that kind of a thing.
I was conflating the mandatory reporting, different documents you receive with the QM portal. Okay. Thank you. And what I'll do is maybe Southern, Northern, and Central can get together, just the three chairs and co-chairs, and discuss so we don't have each have separate needs that are crazy. Yeah. Does that make sense, Barbara?
Yeah. Yeah, just, and we will continue to work on some ideas with our developers and maybe give you guys some examples to help give you some ideas of what we can do. But again, just want to be able to give you guys whatever tools you can to make your service and the time that you're volunteering as beneficial as possible. And I think that might even help you guys with recruitment of new members. You know, if it's not so burdensome to do this really important work. So that's our goal, you know.
Thank you, CJ. It's getting better all the time. Both you and Frederica, thank you too. It is. It's just getting better all the time. Thanks.
No problem. We're happy to do it. Again, I appreciate the work and the oversight that you guys provide and the things that you guys bring to our attention, especially moving over to the quality for myself. It really helps steer the attention of not just myself, but my entire quality unit at different things that you guys are focusing on. So it's just been a great partnership for us as well. All right, Dr. Potts, I don't have an update for you on your list other than it's getting a little bit more complicated than we thought. We do not have access to any major list of unlicensed providers because they're not licensed and they're not contracted. So using the member addresses to identify more than three in a particular setting has been a little bit harder than I thought it would be. And that's because it's entered by members themselves and sometimes with the help of family members. But small things like spelling out the word street versus using ST to indicate street have kind of confused our computer for the auto generation. So Frederica is currently putting human eyes to the list that we have and trying to match up addresses that might have an extra space or, somebody entered it and accidentally put a hash mark or spelled out street and someone else spelled out, just use ST. So she's working on that and we'll get our first draft of that to you for review as soon as she can make sure we've captured as much as we can.
Thanks. And you know what they don't have, as an aside, the city doesn't. I talked to city planners and they don't have a list of the boarding homes. So when I get that under the public information request, I will get that to you immediately because I should get that fairly soon. But that may make it easier because they are licensed by the city. And that may be the first thing we're looking at because the rural areas are different, but at least maybe. And Tucson may also have that, a boarding home licensure or certification or whatever for zoning purposes, which is non-state licensed.
Yes.
So if we can get that would help, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I know that Arizona Complete Health has maintained relationships with their providers to create that list for Southern Arizona, for quite a long time. So they have that, but the rest of the state, we're really blind because of not having any kind of formal oversight for those settings. That there's just a house and people let people move in and nobody knows most of the time.
So the Southern Arizona list, though, when I spoke with them, is an old list. Is the one from 5 years ago, too. So it hasn't been particularly
No, they update it. They update it, Dr. Potts.
But it's only Dr. Potts, ours is quite current up until COVID. Really current.
It's self-report by the providers. The providers work individually with their members to try and identify those sites and add them to the list and get that to Arizona Complete Health updated. Okay. And so it's a very manual process. And so that's what we were trying to avoid for you guys and see if we could do it kind of more automated so that, it would be as fresh as possible. So we're working still on it.
So the Southern Arizona one, they do – It isn't just a 5-year-old list that we have then. So it's
no, okay. No. The 5-year-old list is from the Arnold V. Sarn exit agreement. It was the list that was put together back then. I think it's actually 6 or 7 years old now. And that was put back in and provided to the courts through that exit agreement and all of that.
What we need to get. Thank you.
Dr. Potts, my understanding is I'm going to be contacting Melissa Brown, and she's the one that provides it for me, and she basically, my understanding is she checks with Kodak, La Frontera, whoever, and the different providers, and they provide her with anyone that they're sending their SMI population to, and so anyway, she's always put it together. Did you ever get a chance to speak with Melissa Brown to see if I was wondering if she had a counterpart. Maybe CJ knows. Does she have a counterpart?
She doesn't. Well, I spoke
it's different, Barb. Yeah. It's different, Barb, up here because referring SMI members is prohibited in Maricopa County.
That's right.
So our providers don't maintain that kind of a list because they're not allowed to refer. That's the concern for the Central IOC is they believe that might be going on, but without it being widely talked about. So that's the focus, I think, on Dr. Potts's team is, that was a thing that was prohibited through the Arnold V. Sarn exit agreement. And if it's happening again, we need to address it. So that's the other reason that Frederica and I are prioritizing this, because Access wants to know as well. If it is going on again, we need to put a stop to it as well. Mm-hmm. Lori, I see you have your hand up.
Okay. My suggestion was just that I'm not sure how they report their addresses, but if it's via form or something or a spreadsheet that are a template, you could do it so you have a list of values. So instead of just having street or ST or lane or boulevard, just have a pick list to where they can't mess it up.
And yeah,
it's a format. You could.
It's a member portal, so much like probably your own health plan. I don't know what your private health insurance has, where you go in and you can update your own address information. So it's a member-facing portal, Access Online. And members go in when they move and they enter their address. But it doesn't have any business rules around like spelling out street or using ST because, we recognize that for mail. And so the business rule's not there. So the data that we have doesn't have that kind of a quantifier. And it's not something that we, send around a spreadsheet. It's literally this live interactive. Members can update their address at any time, day or night. Doesn't matter.
But you can also mention to your developers that there are a lot of plugins. And
I proposed like that they put... when you go to type an address in Google for your maps and you put in the numbers and it says, this is a valid address. Is this the one you're looking for? So we did ask them if that, I haven't heard back. Everything takes a minute to hear back when it's going to cost money. So we'll see.
Okay.
I know we're 10 minutes over and we've lost a few of our attendees. But Lori, in the chat box above the links that Frederica has put in, I put a link to the Access Resource Reports page. I think what you were asking about as far as the Act Fidelity and the SMI populations and housing, that should all be found in the Arnold V. Sarn reports. Access has been producing those since 2016. So you have 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. You'll have 21 by the end of the year.
I want the detailed ones that talk about every team, all the scoreboards on all the metrics. When I looked, it wasn't there, but I'll look at these and let you know.
Okay. If you have an example of your older one that you're looking at that you would like, if it would be helpful to me if you want to send me that, and then I can find out who owns that, if we still maintain it, and certainly let you know where it is or what happened to it.
Thank you.
Were there any other questions that y'all had for me? I know Lori had posed that one earlier. Barb, I think you had one, and I might have forgotten to answer it.
Oh, no. You more than answered. I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. I think I am.
Okay, good. Good.
I'll let you know.
Great.
Thank you, CJ.
Of course. And Dr. Potts, anything else I may have missed from you?
No, you've all been very responsive. I'm sorry Norton wasn't here. I think... Yeah, no, and Larry, I think we'll want to get together. I think what we need to do is get the three chairs. We were going to talk about site visits and standards for site visits. I thought, well, was that going to just be on the three chairs doing that without access, is your recollection? I thought it was going to be on the agenda this meeting.
I wasn't aware of any of that, Dr. Potts, but
we did talk about it. So we'll figure something out. I think we haven't done that. This has been very, very helpful. Very helpful. Thank you, CJ.
Well, we can certainly add that to the next meeting, but for the next chair meeting. But I'm pretty sure you probably want to move forward with that sooner than later. So
yeah,
feel free to if you want me to set something up and for y'all just to do a Google thing for y'all, that's fine too. Okay. However y'all want to do that, it's fine. Just let me know.
I think what we'll do is the chairs, we'll look at the dashboard issues maybe together again. I think it makes sense to try and do it as a single statewide with maybe minor variances because that's worked very well and stops the duplication for you folks, but we'll look at that. I'll talk to my peers.
Okay, fantastic. Just let me know if you need anything.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Next thing on the agenda is just discussion, vote on next meeting and facilitator. And then roundtable topics. It sounds like we've got that already moving. So, and then I'll touch base with the group sometime in September regarding the meeting. Looks like it's going to be October 13th. And then we will get that going and we'll set the agenda. We can get that finalized for you guys.
I may not be at the next one. I think I'm back east for a Columbia board meeting that week.
Okay. Okay. We can always move it, adjust the meeting per people's schedule. It doesn't, that's fine with me. I think everybody here is pretty flexible. So I'll poll the group and try to find a date where we all can make it. So, and I think Dorothy said that she would chair the next meeting. She's, so we'll put Dot back on the agenda to be the next facilitator. And hopefully I filled in for her okay. My first time to chair a meeting. So with that being said, I will go ahead and adjourn the meeting. So the meeting of the Access Statewide Chair Meeting is adjourned. Tentatively, the next meeting will be held October 13th. And thank you very much for attending.
Thanks, Larry and Frederica and CJ. Really appreciate your work with us. It's really appreciated, all three of you. Take care. Stay cool.
All right.
Enjoy the Rockies.
Right? I'm jealous now that your background's not fake.
I would show you mine. I'm at the ocean in La Jolla, but if I point the camera that way, it's too light outside.
Tough.
Wow. Yeah. Well, glad to hear that everyone has found cooler weather.
Yeah. Right?
Take care.
Absolutely. All right. You have a great day.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.